If you have your Bibles, I want you to find John chapter 12. We're going to start with verse 46. On Wednesday, and now I'm going to encourage you, the messages are online. I had a powerful message on Wednesday. I want to encourage you to go listen to those things. They all fit and they all congruent. But I read this, I found this quite a few years ago. I don't know who the author was, but it's called the 23rd Channel. So the TV is my shepherd, I shall not want. It makes me lie down on the sofa. It leads me away from faith. It destroys my soul. It leads me in the path of sex and violence for the sponsor's sake. Even though I walk through the shadow of Christian responsibility, there is no interruption, for the TV is with me. Its cable and its remote, they comfort me. It prepares a commercial and before me in the presence of my worldliness. It anoints my head with humanism and consumerism. My coveting runs over. Surely laziness and ignorance shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house just watching TV all the day long. How many of those that can become a reality? It's not that these mediums can't be used for God's glory, but sometimes it can just be a vegetative state where it becomes ours. And hours into weeks and months. Dare I say, if we spent as much time in the Word as we did behind, in front of the TV, spiritually, it'd be a whole new caliber. How many agree to that? Now, there's nothing wrong with the few that I enjoy a football game like somebody else here, but we cannot let things consume us. It needs to be a balance. How many agree? And more than ever, if you get the balance, how many knows the next generation does also? Our children and our grandchildren are bombarded more than ever with things that they see and hear. True? And the fact is, the phone becomes something of like constant view all the time. What's happening is that we're becoming a distracted nation. And a distracted nation becomes really unpowerful. It becomes wandering and wondering. One of the greatest tactics of the enemy is to get you distracted. That way they can sneak up when you're not seeing it. Are you with me? Well, today people are holding the door open wide and the enemy just seems to walk in. We need to do battle for our families. One of the reasons why I'm having prayer tonight, and if you can't make it, I understand. I do. There's no condemnation. The Holy Spirit directed me last Sunday, says, I want you to pray Sunday night. I want you to come against strongholds because there's a lot of them. I said there's a lot of them. Families need prayer. Things need to be broken off. And if we're really asking God to open up people's understanding, I mean, that comes by prayer. What did it take for God to get a hold of you? And who sought the Lord so you got your life right? We also need to do others. Amen. In John chapter 12, verse 46, I want to make this statement to you, that in God there is no darkness at all. It says, I have come as a light into the world, that whosoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Notice Jesus is speaking the reason for his existence here on the planet. I've come to be a light in the world. That today the world sits in darkness, and gross darkness covers the land. Do you know the only good thing on this planet is the Holy Ghost? And the good thing that God's given us is His Word. If you think about it, could you imagine this planet in just one moment if the Holy Spirit was taken from this planet? Could you imagine what would break out instantly in hearts? There are times I see pockets of people rising up. You can really see what's in man's spirit today. But for the church, we're different. We're called to be a light into the world. We have the same Holy Ghost in us. It's the same Holy Ghost that's in Japan, that's in China, that's in. We have that common union, that common thing. But that also should make us the same. No matter what your family background in, if you got the Holy Ghost in you, you belong to Him. And that makes us heirs. That makes us children and families. Amen. Well, the truth is that the church needs to be that and live that out. Too often that we've hid that light. Jesus says, I've come into the world. I've come into the world. It doesn't believe. Most of the planet does not believe. But here's another truth. How can they hear without somebody telling them? The church needs to be about its Father's business. I struggle when churches don't want to be churches anymore. I struggle with it. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. He's called us to be called out individuals. Now, we're members in particular. You have your own world that you live in. But you're always called to be the light. That we're hiding the light. We can't hide the light. We need to shine it. If you want to know what God's like, He is absolutely pure. In Him is no darkness at all. If there's a gray area, I want you to know that the Lord isn't gray area. He's pure. He's holy. He's just and right. And if you think about this, He'll do right by every single person. Sometimes people get this caught up in things like, well, God won't send anyone to hell. Well, He doesn't. We package ourselves. Jesus has made a way out of that. So instantly, we always need to look from this view. He's already died for the whole world. Every person that's ever been born. The provision is already there. What you did with the provision was on your account. So either you're guilty of it and just saying, Lord, I don't want you, or you've received what He has. So when you look at those things, we can just say God's been fair for everyone. And then He'll hold each person's life accountable and actually show what they really did so that if they do go to hell, it's because of this reason. It won't be because God says, well, I really like you and I don't like you. That isn't God. He is not willing that any should perish, but all come to what? Come to the light, that saving knowledge. So when you look at the Lord, He wants the church to represent who He is. I said, He wants the church to represent who He is. In 1 John 1, verse 5, and this is the message that we've heard from Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. As Christians, we need to start shining that light. Now, when we were kids, we heard it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We have to edit this because my singing's bad. This little light of mine, I'm going to what? We taught it to our kids, but we need to teach it to ourselves. That I'm going to let this light shine. See, in this planet is great darkness. It's all around, would you agree? It's not getting better. I shared with the first service, I've lived long enough. Remember when Sundays, everything used to shut down? And even if you didn't go to church, it just shut down. It just shut down. And there was always this little bit of hint of like, man, maybe we should be in church. Maybe we should have some. Today's Sunday is like any other day. There is no difference. And now I know students that are third and fourth and fifth generations away from even knowing who Jesus is. I've met students that haven't even heard His name, but in a cuss word. My wife and I witnessed to this student not too long ago, and this person said, I have never, ever, ever heard Jesus died for my sins. And it's in this country. Today we have a problem with speaking it out. Listen, the church cannot just amalgamate into whatever. It can't be just like the world. Sometimes I see this that, hey, we want to have everything's accepting so when they come in, they feel comfortable. There's community. Listen, if there isn't separation between light and darkness, you're still in your sins. The church is to preach the gospel. If you get convicted, thank God for the Holy Ghost. We need the conviction of the Holy Ghost. This is a message for all churches that, hey, it's time to repent. It's time to get it right. If the world comes in and the world is just like the church, why do they even need a change? Why do they even need the power of the gospel? Jesus spent His life bringing that in. In Ephesians 5, verse 8, for you were once in darkness, but now you're light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. All of us in here walked in darkness in our sin. When Adam and Eve blew it, we've all been in that arena. But when you got saved, God's Holy Spirit came in your life. And that life is the light of men. Now, in the natural, I can't see it. But in the spiritual realm, it illuminates. And I've noticed that in the spiritual realm, the demonic realm hates the light. They can recognize it. They see it. Sometimes it'll even form in attitudes in individuals. They'll come up against you. As Pastor Mark was preaching the truth, this gentleman may have been religious, but there wasn't a relationship. And a lot of the church is religious. They go through the motions. They say the certain things. They do a certain way. Yet their heart is far from him. Are you hearing a word here? It's possible to go to church and not be saved. It's possible to hand out a bulletin, greet somebody at the door, be an altar worker, and still not be saved. Now, I'm here to say the people that are here, they're saved. But the truth is that you can go through the functions. The functions do not save you. It's the heart condition. It's getting it right. Well, I've noticed that when light comes in, darkness always is expelled. And in your life, if you're living for the Lord, somebody may rise up against you and just dislike you for whatever reason. And maybe no reason at all. As I shared on my message on Wednesday, I've had people flip me off. I'm serious. Flip me off. And I'm like, what did I do to you? And I really look, I'm like, I don't even know you. But it's the light that you carry. In the spiritual realm, it's recognized. And sometimes that attitude may form out of somebody else. Say amen. I mean, I said, Jesus said, if they hated me without a cause, they're going to arm yourself. They're going to hate you too. And the days get darker. You know what that means? The church should be more glorious in light than ever. And if people don't want to come to Lighthouse, it's not because we're not loving and kind in there. It's because their deeds are evil. They don't want it. That's how it should be. I said, that's how it should be. They won't come because their deeds are evil. But you can even pray that their heart can change even in that. And no one is out there that can't be changed. When Pastor Mark mentioned that his former colonel got his life right because of a witness, I believe that. That word doesn't return void. So each person can have it. But if they come against you, listen to me, they come against him. But that shouldn't change who you are. It shouldn't change like, well, I'm going to be the light here, but man, I'm going to cover it when I get with these people. Those people probably need it more than ever. Now, I'm not talking about beating them over the head with the scripture. Just being who you are is light enough. Your conversation is different. You don't have to change who you are with the people that's around you. They need you more like Christ than ever. The church doesn't need to be like the world. It doesn't change anything. Could you imagine the pastors that'll have to give an account of their life, not preaching the gospel, yet they fulfilled the role of a preacher. Got to hold each word in accountability. This is serious business. It's life or death. Amen? In 1 John 1, 7 says this, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Notice walking in the light corresponds with being cleansed in the blood. It also shows relationships going to another level. We have fellowship one with another. You may have family that's physical, born from them, but you're just as close with people that are born again. There's something about being spiritually born again that brings a bond together that the world does not understand. I love my father. I've been born from him, but my dad isn't born again. He isn't. I have fleshly things in common. I have spiritual things in common with you. How many can see the difference? I'm praying that this gets his attention. Please continue to pray for my father. He's in that series now that God has kept him alive. It's a miracle. And thank God for Meals on Wheels. They came in and he wasn't talking and they called 911. Say amen. How many knows even if you're not there, God will take care of what you need. Glory to God. Now, when it comes to light, light exposes darkness. I share with the first service, how many ever your power went out and you're in that place where it's all dark and then you're looking for the flashlight and the first two you grab, they don't work. And the third one you grab, you turn it on and it goes for about 30 seconds, dim, and it kind of goes, yeah. Is that anybody here? Yeah. You ever notice everything that you used to know where it is, now you've got to look for it? Yeah. Now, in my house, where our dishwasher is, if you fold it down, it kind of blocks the aisle that leads out to the garage. So if it's ever down and the lights are out, you'll trip right over the door. And I've done that. It hits you shin high and you flip over the door and it's like glory to God. Amen? It really checks how well you're saved too by what comes out of your mouth. Say amen? How many have ever slipped after you've been saved? Aren't you glad for this grace there too? Amen? But what happens when the light is turned on in any situation? Darkness always is expelled. Well, Jesus wanted that. Can you imagine Jesus being pure? Walking this planet. Did he ever change who he was? Did he ever compromise to win people? See, the church has done that. It's compromised who they are and who they're supposed to be to make a community of people, and they forgot the gospel. We've invited the world in and say, come on in, be with us. We want your fellowship because we're no different than you. That's not the gospel. We have things in common as far as flesh, but man, we need things that are spirit-led. Amen. Amen? When the light starts to shine, believe me, it starts to illuminate. Why lighthouses are built is to give navigation to those that are on the sea, to keep you off the land or the rocks, to keep you in focus. True? Now, I know there's navigational systems on ships. Now, I know they have all that. But the truth is, isn't the church called to be a light into the community? Well, if the community sits in darkness, then the church needs to be more glorious than ever. I'm speaking to this church. We're going to be a light in the last days. I'm not so concerned about what's happening here. No, we need to be the light. And people need to see that light. And those that need to see it will come to the light. We need to pray nations come to the light. When darkness is exposed, it exposes sin. And conviction needs to come. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God if you get convicted about sin. Don't push that away and say, no, I need it. Amen? When I get the telephone pole out of my eye, it always helps me see the speck in my brother's. When I'm judged in me who I am, listen, I won't be judged of another. And no one's harder than you on you. And no one knows more about your stuff than you. True? It's not a mystery. And thank God that we don't have a living billboard all the time. True? Every sin, like, yeah, well, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, no. Thank God there's grace there. But I want the light to begin to search those areas. I shared with the first service, I've had a few surgeries in my life. The last one I had there, they kind of have this pre-prep area where they give you some stuff and then they wheel you down to surgery. Well, I usually make it into the surgery room, the transfer from the table over. And in those surgery places, they had these big old lights. They almost look like giant mirrors with a little cone on the end of it. And I remember this one, this particular one had to be this big in diameter. Big old arm on it. And they spun out. I'm looking right at it. And it's so bright in my eyes. Then the anesthesiologist says, count back from here. And I kind of look at him like, wow, I didn't know you were there, right? But I remember the light is bringing exposure. So who's ever working on you can see. How many are still being worked on? Then the light brings exposure. It's when we hide in the darkness that we don't want things to be opened. We'd rather hide in them, but who are we kidding? Do we think God doesn't see that? So in our minds, we're operating in that area, well, the Lord doesn't know, or I don't care if he does know. No, you need him to come. Amen? Lord, examine it all. And the Holy Spirit is so loving. Listen, if we all needed to get what we need, we'd be undone. But little by little, he works on us. How many have had an attitude change since you've been saved? How many of some things have dropped off since you've been saved? I mean, that's a reality. How many are not done yet? That's part of it. I know Pastor Robert and I had this conversation. Say amen? Amen. He said, when I was younger, I was a little bit wild there, but praise God I got saved. Amen? How many of us, that's reality for all of us. But you got to continue in the light. Don't be afraid of the light. I've learned this, that God does this. He'll speak what you're doing right. You're getting this down. You're getting this down. Here's an area to work on. So you can either, because if God blasted us, and man, you got this wrong and this wrong and this wrong, and but God, you got this wrong. How many of us, that would defeat us? He always builds us up, but then he corrects us too. Sometimes people think God is all love and doesn't bring correction. He does both. Like you parents, when your kids are out there, you love them, but you're still going to correct them. And no correction is glorious at the moment. I hate you. You don't love me. Some of you parents are going to hear that, or have you already heard it? Amen. When I look at Jesus, Jesus was made sin for us, that we can become the righteousness of God. Isn't that a good deal for us? What does he get, and what do we get? If you want to talk about love, he loves us so much that I'll pay the price of your failures just so I can restore this relationship. When people think that God doesn't care, that's such a lie of the devil. That's darkness. He's done it because I love you, not because I hate you. That means everything he's done, can you see how a stronghold can be built up in the mind about attitudes against the Lord? Well, this here, if he did this, if he loved me, he'd do this. No, he already loves you. The realization is you need to come to know that. But the enemy who walks in darkness, and that's what he does, but he'll appear like an angel of light. But when you've met him, you can expose every fake. I said every fake. It's like knowing what's real in a knockoff. Sometimes the knockoffs are close, but with examination, you can always tell. Amen? When I was over on Telegraph on near Redford, I went into the gas station there, and this guy had Rolexes in the window. $29.95. You know what? I'm like, dude, I'll buy a Rolex for $29.95. I go, let me see one of those. Huh. Got a pretty good weight to it. Flipped it over. Made in China. I'm sorry. And then Rolexes aren't made in China. Amen. And see, you don't have to slap it on your wrist to try to impress people with a fake. Are you with me? How many knows when you see the authentic, you can spot the fake? But what if you don't know the authentic? You'll walk in your own understanding. And most people do. Amen? Yeah. Well, come on, church. God's called you to be a light in the world. You cannot hide the light. It's supposed to shine. Then, Lord, I'm going to let it shine. I said, I'm going to let it shine. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ, that we can become like him in our lifetime. That's good news. I don't want to be any more sinful. I want to be more godly. Then I let that shine that others can see and others need to see it. Amen? When it comes to Jesus, he's a high priest who can sympathize with our weakness. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. He knows what it's like to battle thoughts, come against things. If the truth be known, if you look at Scripture real close, he was called everything that's so unimaginable. He was called illegitimate. He was called, you name it, it was spoken. Can you imagine when Jesus said, let it be so, this is the hour of darkness. That was real. Prophesy who hits you. Come on. Jesus knows what like. He never changed who he was. In 1 Peter 2:21, Jesus called us to be an example. It says, for this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. If the world hates you, it hated him before it hated you. No, I'm not looking to make enemies. I'm not. But just living for the Lord, somebody's not going to like you living for God. Somebody's not going to like it. But that shouldn't change you living for the Lord. Sometimes we cower down, and I know this for a fact. I shared it with the first service. I know of ministers who have stopped preaching the gospel and praying in the Holy Ghost because they felt an attack every time, so they'd rather not feel the attack and just be normal. How many of those, that's not bringing down strongholds? That's not victory. I know another minister said to my face, "Pastor, I'm a pastor too. I believe God's going to do whatever he's going to do. There's no need to pray." And I said, that's not biblical. Jesus said to pray always and lift up holy hands. Think about it. Think about their people in their churches. That this is what they're taught. You don't need to do that. You don't need to pray. You don't need the Holy Ghost. You don't need to battle. Everything's going to be fine. Do you see how you can cripple people in that? You walk in that understanding. But that isn't God's word. It's like you're walking in a natural state when God's word will illuminate that. The Bible says this in Revelation. You've lost your first love. Repent. That was written to churches. You need to get some eye salve, buy of me so you can see again. That was written to churches. You've let prophets come into your house that aren't even living for me. Repent. That's in Revelation. Written to the churches. The only way this church is going to be what God wants to be, that we walk in the light. And that's every one of us. That isn't just the pastor. I'm like you. I have to spend time in the Word of God just like you. I have to pray just like you. There isn't this special thing here. No, you have to walk in the light as He's in the light. The change happens to this. We know enough about sin, don't we? But how much do we really know about righteousness? How much are we really walking in it? Jeff and I had this conversation the other day. I'm not going to get to heaven and start my relationship with the Lord. It's just going to continue from here, and the proximity is going to change. I can know Him just like I know Him in there, here. Amen. Then we need to start it now. It should be a quest, not how far we can get away, but how close we can become. Amen? When's the last time you heard repentance listed in church? The blood listed in church? The cross listed in church? All the strong pillars of faith, it's now like, no, we'll just have three little poems and a little bitty message. And you can all feel good about yourself and go home. We've kissed people right to hell. And we've left the power of conviction of the Holy Ghost because we're too afraid to offend somebody. Well, they're already offended. It's time to break the power of the enemy. I said it's time to break the power of the enemy. My dad hinges in the balance. Your families hinge in the balance. If you got saved, it's a miracle. Then take that miracle and start to apply. I'm going to pray. Yes, you're going to be attacked. I can't keep that from happening. But I can guarantee you victory. Because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. This momentary battles we have, these momentary struggles are working about a far greater way to glory. And this preaching isn't popular either. Amen? The other day I was really seeking the Lord on some things. And I'm not going to name names, bring faces. That's irrelevant. But the Lord spoke a word to me. He said, many will not come in these days because of conviction from the Holy Spirit. And I said, Lord, change their hearts. Because if you come in and you get convicted and you don't want it, what are you going to do? You're going to move far from it. It's like being in that backslidden condition and you can notice everybody praying at their dinner table. Say amen. How many knows the flesh doesn't like it? We have prayer to do. We have the Lord to seek to break that. And what did it take to bring you to Christ? Think about it. How hard-hearted were we? What was our conversation like in the world? But somehow God still got a hold of you. It's a miracle. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody held you up. But also somebody held the light out. This is the light. I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to hide it. When I go to work, I'm still going to be a Christian. When I come home, I'm still going to be a Christian. If I'm going to, I'm going to be a Christian. Now, I'm not talking about beating people over the head with the word, but living the word out. Amen. You're just living it out. If you live it out, your conversation's different. True? Your likes are different. When it comes to sin, you're not so quick to indulge all the dirty stuff or make agreement with it. But it starts to be conversation like, yeah, I know the Lord's really worked to me in that area. Can you be that? Yes, we can. Amen? When Jesus took that on himself, he did it because he loves us. And today, just because we say we know God doesn't mean we do. In 1 John 4, verse 20, if someone says they love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Today you need to clarify what God they serve. I've noticed that people can pray in the name of God, but you mention the name of Jesus, instantly there's a problem. I'm serious. That name invokes power and change. And in this world, that spirit of the Antichrist rises up when Jesus is preached. And many times good people will cower down to agree with that instead of confronting that. And standing there and say, you know what? Even if you don't like me, he is the truth. I'm not trying to make you offend me, but I'm standing my ground. He's the way, the truth, and the life. That's how they're going to hear. That's how they're going to believe. But it's like, oh, that's okay. That's what you believe? Oh, that's fine. Let me not hold the door of hell so you can climb in. Is this popular? No. But it's still the truth. I said it's still the truth. In Titus 1, verse 16, they profess to know God, but in their works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. If you say you know God, then your life starts to follow that pattern. I'm not looking for perfection, please. Bless God, I'm not a perfect pastor. But one thing I do know is if I'm laying behind this and I'm pressing on, Lord, if there's an area of my life, help me with it. Amen? If there's an area of your life, then Lord, help me. You judge yourself, you won't be judged at another. You know where you're weak at. Then, Lord, shine that on there. And never be afraid of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Never have this prayer like, well, I can't pray that. Ooh, man, that's scary. Lord, examine me. Ooh, Lord, no, man. Oh. No, what he'll do is he's the great physician. He knows what ails you. Say amen. Amen. And he'll cut that out and not even leave a scar. Wouldn't that be cool? Say amen. Amen. You cannot but come to the light. It also exposes your deeds. When people don't want to come to the light is because they're walking in darkness. It's just a true fact. They don't want it to be exposed. I just want to stay in that arena. But you're called to be different. You're not called to be sin. And you're not called to be sin for somebody else. You're called for righteousness. He became sin so you could know him and walk in his ways. Say amen. In Mark chapter 7, verse 6, and he answered and said unto them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you. Now notice this is Jesus preaching. Hypocrites, for it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Jesus was bringing to light, you call yourself this, excuse me, but your heart is far from me. You say, Lord, Lord, with your lips, but this is so far distant. It's like speaking anybody else's name. When you speak the name of Jesus, you speak out of relationship with your Father. He has made the Father known. I mean, that's a powerful thing. Do you know I'm a child of the Most High God? My lineage is better than Bill Gates. I have God for my Father. Religious people will hate that. How can you say God is your Father? He is. I'm His kid. I've been grafted in. I was one of those wild olive shoots that He grafted in, and here's what happened. When He grafted in, you can't tell the difference between me and the true vine. That every nutrient that happens there is now mine. That every blessing of Abraham now can come upon me. Why? Because it's of faith. Isn't that so cool? I wonder now, as Abraham is seeing the fulfillment when God said your seed will be like the sands of the seashore, can you imagine Abraham in heaven right now and every person that keeps going there, it just keeps multiplying. And he can honestly confess that prophecy came through. My seed of faith is like the sands of the seashore. Isn't that cool? When God speaks a word, it's true. Amen? But what about us? A right confession needs to be made in him and keep it in faith. In 1 John 1 verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're made through right through God through your confession and your faith. Well, it's no different today. How are people going to know who you are? Your confession and your faith is going to let your light shine. Amen? The world doesn't have it in that arena, but you do. Your confession and your faith lets your light shine. How are they going to hear? Because you speak it. How are they going to see it? Because you live it out. You trust not in yourself. We also need to have that. That is a work in progress. Amen? How do you know people are in sin? Their works and their confession. You can see it every day. What they do and what they say. The church needs to be different. I can't speak for every church, but this church is going to let its light shine. And people that need to see will see. And people that hate us will just hate us. Not that I want people to, but some people will not like the light. But we need to let it shine. And you need to arm yourself also. Jesus said they hated me and I was perfect. Arm yourself. Amen? Well, then I'm going to let it shine. What happens if persecution really hits the church? Let me be real straight with you. And Pastor Marco tested this, being a drill instructor. They're trying to train new recruits that are raw, out of school, to become warriors in a very short time and be dropped in a zone they've never been in their whole lifetime. And people are going to be shooting at them with real bullets to take their life. How many think the training is intense, serious, and you're doing it? In essence, you're going to lose your way of life to pick on this way of life because you may save your life and somebody else's. Isn't that a true fact? If the full onslaught of the enemy came against the church right now, how many would cower with flags upon and run away? Or just surrender, I give up. No power, I give up. I want us to be different. I want us to be trained warriors. That you know what? If there's just two or three or 100 or 1,000, we're taking that beachhead. And if we have to hold this hill, we're holding it till reinforcements come. Oh, let me preach this. I wonder if there's any angel needs to help anybody today. Or if we just cower down in R&R that we don't even need the Lord's help anymore. I read in Scripture that an angel came and destroyed, came in and slew, came in and did things. We need the angelic host on our side. But we need to be the place where they're actually being dispatched instead of just getting a date. Man, he's preaching now. Give it to me. Give it to me. Come on, we need it, don't we? Church, we need it. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. When people don't get along, somebody's not walking in the light. Oh, man. Somebody's going to ruffle your feathers. Somebody's going to tick you off. Somebody's going to insult you. Somebody's going to do something. Be thick-skinned about it. Say amen. Offense is a trap of the enemy. And if you take an offense, you'll go around the mountain one more time till you deal with that again. It's easier to go, no, I'm not going to chew on that. That's what I do. There are sometimes, can I be just straight with you? I've had people give me the worst comments leaving the church than ever thought possible. Pastor, will you attest to this? Will you attest to this? And have to go, wow! And then I go, I'm not chewing on that. Because the next person who steps up, Pastor, I really appreciate the message that God ministered to me. So which one was it? How many knows the enemy will always try to sow a seed? He'll try to get you off track. That's part of the package. Amen? Sunday afternoon is probably my greatest attack time against me, who I am. That's part of the course. I've recognized the times and the seasons. So pray for your pastor. Amen. I'm not asking you to do this for just doing this. I don't do that. I don't believe in spiritual manipulation. That's such a vomit to me. But if the Lord encourages you, encourage your pastors. Send them and say, man, I appreciate that. Will you do that? And the pastors that are on staff here, as well as Allie. There's a lot of responsibility with this. Say amen. Amen. Now, I'm not asking you all of a sudden I get 100 letters. Say, Pastor, you're awesome. No, you do it as the Lord directs. Yes. True? Yes. Amen. I don't like it when pastors do this. Oh, you know, I need a new pair of shoes, man. If you don't give today, I'm not getting any shoes. Oh, come on. Somebody's probably going to buy you some shoes. True? Yeah. Don't give under compulsion. Yeah. And I don't need any shoes. I'm good to go. Say amen. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He who covers his sin will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. How are you going to let it shine? Your confession and your faith. Church, I want you to be a witnesser. Be natural about it. Here's what I do to come against fear. I got a whole restaurant. There's got to be somebody here who needs the Lord. Jesus, today, direct my footsteps and open the door to share in Jesus' name. Instantly, I'm in the arena of faith and not worrying about what I'm going to say. And the Lord will open the door. It's when we get like, well, who do I need a witness to? Who do I, who? No, man, you're freaking yourself out. Just be natural. And when the opportunity arises, speak the word. It could be to the waitress. You'd be amazed if you ask people, what can I pray for you for? A lot of times people will just, voila! I'll pray for you. And just don't wait all the time. Sometimes just, we'll pray right now. If they're able to, pray. Amen? Somebody else will see. Has anybody ever seen somebody pray at their table? How many have ever seen that? They'll see you too. Just like you, they'll see you too. And there have been times where there's somebody next to me, I'll stop for a moment and go, Lord bless them, amen. I'll join that. This one brother, he got really into it. Lord, just bring down the power. I believe in you for my family to touch in the name of Jesus. You know what? I started doing this. Yes, Lord, I agree with that. I find myself getting loud, amen. The whole restaurant knew that prayer, praise God. That brother was anointed. I just walking in that anointing with him. I'm going to let it. I watched the Hall of Fame, this class that just went in. I caught the tail end of it. And one of the gentlemen that was a Christian, and he was like, I want to, first of all, thank Jesus Christ for the strength he gave me to do this. I'm like, cool. Lord, glory to God. He kept speaking, glory to God for help. I'm like, dude, yes. His platform was that. I like when he started to scan the audience, people were like, yes, glory to God. I don't know what your audience is. I don't know what all your portion is, but your portion is to be a light. Amen. Lighthouse Church, I'm calling you to be a light into the community. Amen. That's what you're called to be. Not sin, not partake of other people's sin, but being a light. Amen? Amen? And if you'll spend that time with God, your light will go from a butane to something brighter. Amen. And I'll close with this. We did this skit one time where Jesus came out of the tomb, and I found these light bulbs. They were 600-watt bulbs. They were huge. And I wired them up so they would come on when you flipped the switch. It would actually dim the lights in the sanctuary when it came on. There was so much power there. And I said, look, at the end of the skip with the resurrection, I took the smoke machine, I filled him up, he was smoking Jesus. And I actually took the machine, I held it for like 30 seconds under him. And I go, look, just do this for a second. And the smoke cascaded out. It was pretty cool. I said, you know what? Here's what's going to happen. When you come out of the tomb, you're going to be blinded. Because the light is going to be so intense, but I need you just to walk out like you're walking normal. So the scene happened. The angel moves the stone away. I filled him up, and I had these two 600-watt bulb, huge things. And as soon as he walked out, I flipped the switch, and it was so bright you couldn't see his face. Just the white and the smoke coming out. It looked like the glory of God. I'm telling you. And people were like this. And they were like, it was so bright. Say amen. Amen. The Bible says this, that Jesus will destroy the enemy with the brightness of his coming. Amen. The more you walk in the light, the less the light bothers your eyes. The more we walk in it as a church, the more the glory can be revealed here. How many want to walk in the fullness? It's only that when you're in darkness that you hate the light. Amen? No, we're going to walk in it, church. I said, we're going to walk in it. Every single one of us. There's not one being left behind. We're all crossed over. We're all going to receive the promise. And we're all going to walk in that fullness. Amen? The law, the Old Testament, was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Now we walk in that fullness, church. How many are going to let your light shine? As we close here, how many have an area of your life where you know the Lord's still working on? You need him to put that searchlight there. Be honest with yourself. Ask him, Lord, I want victory in this area. You'll get it. Amen? Secondly, in the world, how many need to just let that light shine more? Not that you're purposely saying I'm hiding. No, I just need to let it shine more. You need that faith and boldness. How many are realizing that through confession and faith, you let it shine? Do that, church. Put the invitation out there that there's forgiveness in him, that they can become righteous in Christ. Father, I pray for this church. Lord, that we'll become what you've called us to be. Light in the world. And Lord, we examine ourselves. Lord, forgive us of all our trespasses. Make it real. If there's an area of your heart where you know you're struggling, Lord, work in this area. Change me here. Whether it's an attitude, an action, change me. And Lord, make us bold, Lord God, bold as lions to speak a word. Lord, we pray for those that are away, a return to your house. Father, your blessing upon your people. Lord, meet every need in each home in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Mark will be here at the altar.